Chapter 4, Secrets of a Phenomenal Business. In the introduction of this book, I ask you this question. Do you remember why you went into business for yourself? The greatest business lesson I ever learned is that my business exists for one and one reason only. And yours exists for the same reason. The one and only reason your business exists is to help you achieve your life goals. Period. End of story. There is no other reason it exists. Would you agree that your business has a dramatic impact on your personal life? And if it actually destroys your life, what good is it? The everyday demands of a business have a dramatic impact on our personal lives. The good news, no, phenomenal news, is that it can be positive. It doesn't have to be negative. So the first step toward a phenomenal business is to understand why it exists, to enhance your life and deliver on the life goals that you may not be able to realize with a regular job. You must get the fact that your business works for you. You don't work for the business. Your business is a vehicle to help you live out your life goals. It's the vehicle that you have chosen. Don't get me wrong, you'll still work just as hard, and if you don't have money, you may have to invest more sweat equity than you ever imagined to get it where you need it to be. You may have to work long and hard in the beginning, but if you design your life goals first and build your business around that, you'll avoid much of the heartache that comes with action without vision. I often ask my seminar attendees how big they want to get. Oftentimes the answer is, as big as possible. Although I admire the confidence and enthusiasm, building the business just for the sake of getting bigger with no real vision of why you're doing it and how it will affect you personally will likely result in the owner being a slave to the business. And the other spokes on the wheel of life will suffer. When I first read The E-Myth Revisited, I finally understood how to stop being a slave to my business. Michael Gerber talks about your primary aim. When you design a compelling, purposeful, phenomenal picture for your life and design your business around your life goals, you'll approach your business with more purpose and direction. You'll have a compelling reason to build it. With a compelling vision for your life, you'll be willing to learn what you need to learn and, more important, implement it. The other side of the proverbial coin is that your personal habits have a dramatic impact on your business. To grow a phenomenal business, you've got to become a phenomenally successful person with positive habits. Just knowing how to build a business is not enough. So, once you realize your business exists to help you achieve your life goals, you design your life first. Then you work on the business to design it to fulfill that ideal picture. Now you have a compelling reason to work on your business. You'll be willing to learn what you need to learn. Otherwise, just gaining knowledge about building your business will be useless. You might use a little bit of it to do better, but it's not about being better. It's about living out the calling, the vision that you have for your life. I was having lunch with a very successful business owner friend of mine who feels like he's at a crossroads. The business he really loves and feels connected to isn't set up to really help him reach his dreams in life. He has a condition that could take his life. His dream is to make sure his family doesn't have to struggle should that occur. His other business that is doing very well and could help him reach all of his dreams in life is not getting the attention it needs. He's conflicted, like we all get sometimes. I shared the story about the monkey and the banana with him. A monkey found a banana in a jar. He had his hand on the banana, but couldn't get it through the small mouth of the jar. At the same time, there was another banana just out of reach on the ground that he could very easily reach. but he wouldn't let go of the banana in the jar. I could see tears welling up in my friend's eyes as I shared the banana story. The banana in the jar represents the business that he has to continually reinvent that won't get him his ultimate dream. The banana on the ground represents the business that will help him reach his dream, getting completely focused on his true life goal of providing for his family's future rather than the immediate dollars he can make now will help him take the action he needs to take in his other business. The number one reason most small businesses don't grow or do as well as they could. A few years ago, I was sharing the vision without action is a daydream proverb during a keynote presentation, and my friend Kirby Lammers chuckled and muttered, FTI. Ask him what it meant. He said a speaker he heard once called it failure to implement. Many times you know what to do and how to do it, you just don't do it. After coaching hundreds of business owners and addressing thousands, I've found that FTI is the number one problem. The question is why? No compelling vision for your life. No real hope of ever reaching your dream. Have you noticed that the most successful small business owners are enthusiastic? Have you ever noticed they're excited? They see something others don't see. They have hope for the future because they know they can grow the business. They know they can improve their lives. Inspiration to implementation. I call that inspiration. Too many times we have distractions, a lack of focus, and a lack of discipline. Business owners aren't organized or motivated. The reason? They aren't inspired. Why aren't they inspired? They don't have a compelling, meaningful vision that drives them every day. You must get that. This is my hope for you, that you get a new, inspiring vision as a result of listening to this book. If you've owned your business for a while, you probably realize that what I'm saying is true. In this chapter, I'll share the secrets of a phenomenal business. Instead of hitting roadblocks, I'm going to show you the roadmap to a predictable, profitable turnkey operation. Are you ready? A turnkey business is one that is systematized to the point that the owner doesn't have to be involved in the day-to-day operations of the business. Most people think it's a fantasy, but I've proven that it's not. And I've helped others do it too. They are experiencing so much more freedom in their businesses and lives. It doesn't mean you won't have problems. It doesn't mean you won't have to do anything. And it doesn't mean that you don't have responsibilities. It also doesn't mean that you can just escape without first creating the infrastructure that you need. It does mean that if you'll take the time to learn and implement the secrets, the things that most people don't know, you will be in a position to make it a reality. Most small business owners are convinced that no one can do the technical part of the business as good as they can. And that's the very reason you're a slave to your business. You may have hired nightmare employees in the past, and now you're gun-shy. If you're a solo entrepreneur, you may be convinced that you need to stay that way, but does that truly fit with your life goals? If you have a large business and your employees are running you, I have hope for you too. How to put your business on autopilot with systems. If you want to have a predictable, profitable turnkey operation, or you just want things to run more smoothly, you've got to have systems. My systems acronym stands for Systematizing Your Strategies to Execute Management Successfully. Everyone has strategies. You may not realize how many strategies you have, but you have specific ways that you do things. You may have intentionally decided to answer your phone a certain way rather than another, for example. That's a strategy. There's a certain way you do your work. That's a strategy. There's a certain way you advertise. That's a strategy. A system is a group of working parts that are designed to work together. Then and only then can you really execute successfully. Then and only then can you really manage. By the way, even if you are a solo operator or an independent professional that works alone, you need systems. There is a specific order of things that works best. If you do it the same way each time, you increase your results. If you get off the procedure, you risk not getting the same results. Once you have tested a number of strategies, you find what works best and duplicate it over and over. Why systems are critical to your business? Systems are the key to profitable growth. The bigger you get without systems, the more money is going out the door and reinventing every day. Employees perform better because they aren't micromanaged and they know exactly what they're supposed to accomplish. You have fewer surprises because they aren't trying to make it up every time. It also keeps you, the owner, in line. If you're like me, you like to tinker with it and change things around. If you have a team, they're confused. Then the customer is confused. When you change something, be sure to communicate it and update the system. This is probably one of the biggest reasons for systems. Your client, your patient, your member or guest. They get a consistent service experience. When it is done the same way every time, the customer has confidence in what to expect. Finally, would you like to sell your business one of these days? Let's face facts. Anyone with a significant amount of money to invest doesn't want your 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week job. How much is your job worth? Anyone interested in buying a business wants to buy a turnkey operation. An investor simply wants a set of keys. He invests his money and turns the key to start his new money machine. That's all he wants. If it revolves around your controlling and directing every facet of the business, it is of no use to him as an investor. The five vital components of a system. I believe if you understand the following components, that you can systematize just about anything. Assembling these five components creates the ultimate system. I believe these will work for any type of business or organization. The five components are, number one, the mission. Number two, the organizational chart. Number three, job descriptions. Number four, policies. Number five, procedures. Component number one, the mission. The mission is what you're trying to accomplish every single day. In other words, what are you delivering? For example, the mission of my service company is to provide the most outstanding service experience ever. The Starbucks mission statement is to establish Starbucks as the premier purveyor of the finest coffee in the world while maintaining our uncompromising principles as we grow. A mission is not some long, mysterious, boring paragraph hanging in the lobby of a company that no one actually knows or believes. In fact, I recommend one sentence. Once you have a mission that you believe in, you can use it to make every decision in your business. What kind of equipment should we use? In the book Onward, Howard Schultz shares how the coffee makers that were chosen to boost profits actually killed their mission. What kind of marketing should we do? What should our uniforms look like? You can be tempted to do things that keep you from accomplishing your mission because you're trying to save money or you're growing so fast that you lose sight of what got you there. That's what happened to Starbucks. In the book Onward, How Starbucks Fought for Its Life Without Losing Its Soul, Howard Schultz shares how they regained their brand after losing their way. It's a powerful story about the importance of mission and brand. When you have a mission that is understood, you can check every decision that is made. A clear mission helps you rally the troops and gives you a context for coaching. When an employee doesn't follow procedure, you can simply tie the correct behavior to the why behind the procedure, which is the mission. Instead of your employee just thinking that you're mad at them or you don't like them, or whatever emotional issue they have, they understand that it's about the mission. They understand that the mission is best for the client. Speaking of clients, be sure to communicate your mission to your prospects, customers, and clients as well. At our company, our UEP, trademarked, Unique Experience Proposition, is our mission statement. That is what the client is buying, and this is what my staff provides. What a thing of beauty. The Ritz-Carlton does a phenomenal job with this. They have a credo card that each one of their ladies and gentlemen carries. It has their credo, motto, and three steps of service on it. Read all about it in my friend Joseph Michelli's book, The New Gold Standard. The reason the mission is the very first component in building systems is we must know what it is that we're trying to accomplish each day. While you're getting your procedures in place, your team needs to know what the mission is so they can make the right decisions. You also need your mission in place so that you can create the right procedures. By the way, you may have heard people use the words vision and mission interchangeably. The difference between vision and mission, by the way, in my mind's eye, is this. Mission is what your business is trying to do each day. In other words, every time we pick up the phone, it communicates the most outstanding service experience ever, or it doesn't. Simple as that. Vision is what you want your business to look like. In other words, your vision is what you get when you reach your goals. We want to do X number of dollars in business, X number of clients, X dollars in profit, etc. We want to have X number of trucks, staff, etc. Finally, your mission is supported by your values, or what Starbucks calls guiding principles. These values help us live out our mission each day. My company has five values that we live by and that we communicate to our clients. If we live out the values, we accomplish the mission. Simple as that. To create your own mission statement, think about what you want the client to get. What do you want them to feel? Put together a simple but meaningful sentence and begin to communicate it to your staff. Post it on your materials, your walls, and every place it can be visible to remind you, your staff, and your clients what you're actually selling. Component number two, the organizational chart. Owning your own business can be overwhelming because the number of hats you have to wear. Someone not only has to do the technical work of the business, but someone has to market, someone has to go on sales calls, someone has to do the bookkeeping, someone has to order supplies, someone has to fix the equipment, and the list goes on. If you are a larger company and you have people actually doing some of these things, you are most likely overwhelmed as you try to manage them and end up being involved in many things that you don't want to be involved in, and probably shouldn't be. You're involved in too many areas because you haven't learned the skill of leadership and systems. How do you ever get over this? You need a vision, a roadmap, a clear picture of the business. A great tool is an organizational chart. The organizational chart of most companies looks like this. You have three functions, the director, the manager, and the technician. You have marketing, sales, operations, and administration. Those are 12 boxes, and you're in every box. No wonder you're overwhelmed. You're in every single box. So how do you get organized? You begin by understanding the 12 vital functions of the business. Every one of these functions is vital to be phenomenally successful in your business. And if you want a turnkey business, all of them are absolutely crucial. Does someone have to plan the business to be more successful? You bet. That's the role of what I call the director. Does someone have to manage the business? Absolutely. Someone must make sure that all of the things that are supposed to happen actually get implemented. I call this the manager. And of course, someone has to actually do the work of the business. The good news is that it doesn't always have to be you. And men, your wife is not the only one that can answer the phone and do the books. She needs a life too. So understanding the three levels, director, manager, and technician, gives you a picture of how to separate and organize the major functions. Then there are what I call the four pillars of a phenomenally successful business. You will hear about those later in this chapter. How to use the organizational chart. Begin to replace yourself in the bottom boxes, starting with the things that aren't getting done and the things you despise doing. I know that there are some of those. Start with the things you aren't good at. I started my first company out of the trunk of my car. My name was in every box. Of course, at the time, I didn't even know that there were boxes. Eventually, I hired an assistant. Then I hired a couple of technicians. Then I hired people to answer the phone. Then I merged with a couple of other small business owners and put one in charge of operations and the other in charge of administration. We then hired people to do inside sales and on-location sales. Eventually, I got someone doing marketing with me and then for me. Finally, I was only in two boxes, marketing director and sales director. Today, my business is turnkey. Although I meet with my staff once a week and we work on projects, I don't really have a job in that business other than the responsibility of owning the business. Systematizing your business can be done. A turnkey business is possible, but you must have a compelling vision to drive you. Without it, you'll never do the hard work, yes, I said the hard work, of building systems in your business. I knew I wanted to do what I'm doing now. My vision to do that drove me to build a turnkey business. You can do it too. The four roles of the business owner. On the wheel of life, there's a spoke called career. You want to think about what role you want to fulfill in your small business. Don't worry about how right now. Just think about your life goals and what kind of work lifestyle you're after. Remember that you want to design your business around your life goals. There are four roles you can fulfill in your small business. Number one, the technician. What I mean by the technician is the one doing the technical work of the business. In a service business, the technician role is obvious. But even if you run a retail store or you're an independent professional, the doing of the work is what I'm talking about. Making the sales call, processing paperwork, or serving a customer. It's the doing of the work. Is there anything wrong with being the technician in your business? Absolutely not. If that's what you truly love to do, if that's what you are called to do, and you can balance your life, it may be a wonderful thing for you. You may want to do what doctors do, get an administrative staff and a number of assistants around you so that you can grow your quote-unquote practice. All of the concepts in this chapter will assist you even if you want to continue doing the technical work. But you must organize the other aspects of the business so you are not so overwhelmed. I want you to be the technician because you want to, not because you feel like you have to. Role number two is the customer service manager. This level is when you have others doing the majority of the technical work, but you are still managing the customer service experience. A good example of this is an in-home service company. Say you're a plumber and you're normally the one that does the work. Once you develop a system, even an ordinary plumber can get extraordinary results by simply using the system that you have developed. You're still controlling the client experience by directing the action. You talk to the client over the phone and sometimes stop in on jobs. Role number three, the general manager. At this level, you have a team that does most of the day-to-day duties, marketing, sales, service, and accounting. But you're there to direct the operation. Sure, you can take a vacation and leave someone in charge, but you call the day-to-day shots. Role number four, the turnkey business owner. This is a level that I think all business owners dream of, but sadly few ever reach. You have management in place that call the day-to-day shots. You can do what you want to do when you want to do it. If you want to go away for the summer, you can. Some people believe that this is a fantasy. Of course, I'm living proof that this can be done, and I've helped others do it too. But let's look at some examples that maybe you can relate to. Walmart and Sam's. Could Sam Walton be in every store? No. He loved to be involved where he could, but it was impossible for him to be involved in everything that happened at Sam's and Walmart. But Howard, that's a huge company. What does that have to do with me, you might ask? Well, at one time, Sam Walton had one store. What about Warren Buffett? Does he answer the phone at Geico and write insurance? No. Does he work the floor at the Omaha-based furniture store that he owns? Of course not. So the point here is that you have to start somewhere. And the place you want to start is getting your business systematized and organized so it's more predictable. You want to begin the process of replacing yourself in the areas that you aren't good at and that you're not supposed to do. Keeping in mind that you're supposed to make the amount of money that you're supposed to make, as we learn in Chapter 2, let's think about the financial spoke on the wheel of life. As a business owner, your business is probably your only source of income. As I was watching ABC's Shark Tank last night, a show that features a panel of investors and entrepreneurs seeking capital, this guy's business had done only $53,000 in sales and he was doing all the work. One of the sharks asked, "How do you make money?" "My wife works," he responded. That was the reality for me for a while. Thank you, Denise, and my dad, and everyone else who helped me when I was first starting out. The financial spoke on the wheel of life represents your personal income that's taken from the business. The net income of your business is what contributes to your financial spoke. Now that you've determined what role you want to fulfill in your business and what your lifestyle should look like, you now want to determine how much money you want to make from the business. Here's a simple outline of every income statement for every business. It doesn't matter whether your business is a part-time, home-based business, or one of Warren Buffett's companies. Every company has the same income statement. Income minus cost of goods sold equals gross profit minus fixed expense equals net. Income is all the revenue brought in by the business. Cost of goods sold is the expenses that are directly related to producing the product or service, materials, labor, etc. Fixed expenses are those that stay relatively the same regardless of big swings in revenue. This would be rent, salaries, etc. Although there may be things that vary, they aren't tied to production. Time and space in this book doesn't allow me to make all of the points needed to answer every question about this subject, and there's much understanding needed in the financial area. In addition to your income statement, you'll want to understand your balance sheet and many other financial factors in your business. Contact Phenomenal Products for more information on this important area of your business. For now, make a decision about how much net income you need to fulfill your life goals. This is where you want to start. Write down how much you need to make annually. Don't worry about how yet, just write it down. Remember that you'll have to pay tax on that, so figure that out as well. Once you determine how much net income you need, the next step is to determine your cost of doing business and determine what your business income needs to be. This is your sales goal. If you don't have a 12-month financial forecast, also known as a budget, for your business, you're driving blind and committing action without vision. If you've already resolved this issue in your business and see what we're talking about as elementary, move on. There will be phenomenal stuff for you too. The Phenomenal Profits 747 business model. The Boeing 747 is a humongous jet that can take a lot of people a long way. And that's what you want your business to do. Please understand that, like a 747, your business can be a phenomenal vehicle to help a lot of people. Your small business can have more influence than any other man-made institution in America. If your business is truly a functioning, productive, positive community, you can have a phenomenal impact on many lives. Everyone has a longing for belonging. I believe we are created with not only a God-shaped void, but also a people-shaped void. We're created to belong to one another. People want so desperately to be accepted, loved, and belong. Yet we have given up on government, and many feel like religion has failed them. Note, I'm not talking about the spiritual church, but man-made religion. Your business can fill that longing for belonging. You can help people grow and reach their potential. You can have incredible influence to help others live phenomenal lives. That's the exciting part. You can not only live a phenomenal life yourself, but you can help your family, fellow faith members, employees, clients, vendors, and everyone you touch in your community tap into the phenomenon too. After all, it's not just about you, right? So the first seven in 747 stands for the seven spokes on the wheel of life that I shared in chapter one. The four stands for the four pillars of a phenomenal business. There are four major pillars of every business that must be as strong as possible to be phenomenally successful. Of course, there are many subparts, but these major areas I call pillars are the first step to looking at your business as a whole. Once you understand the pillars and their function, just like supporting a building, you can begin to strengthen the ones that are weak, therefore increasing the value and the function of that building. Pillar number one is marketing. Marketing is everything you do to attract prospects to your business. Until then, they are just a suspect. This includes advertising, referral programs, client mailers, internet marketing, networking, direct selling, and any other things you might do to attract prospects to your business. Do you have enough sales? Are you getting the type of client you want? Have you even thought about your perfect target market? Are you generating enough referrals? Are you spending too much on advertising? Unless you are truly in complete demand and booked up as much as you want, then there is work to do in this area. Phenomenal marketing. What comes to your mind when you think of marketing? For some, the first thing that comes to mind is advertising. Others think of face-to-face sales or networking. Still others think of getting your name out there or branding. The function of marketing, whether it's advertising or promoting your business at the local chamber of commerce, has one function and one function only, and that is to increase sales. At the end of the day, your marketing must increase sales. It obviously must bring qualified prospects that you can convert into clients. If it fails to do that, it isn't working. Too many business owners spend lots of time and money getting their name out there, but their efforts don't produce sales. The only three ways to increase sales. Regardless of the type of business you are in, there are only three ways to increase sales under the sun. The three ways are, number one, get a higher price. Number two, get more clients. And number three, get more sales from existing clients. Let's talk about number one first, get a higher price. If you're able to increase your price without losing too much in volume, your top line will increase. If you raise your price 20% and lose 20% of your sales volume, you're still making more profit. If you raise your price 50% and lose 50% of your sales volume, you're still making more profit. How to get a higher price for your service and have people stand in line to pay it. Over the years, I've positioned myself at the highest price in three industries and have helped others do the same. The key to getting a higher price for your service is to position yourself in the right niche. We call it getting rich in the niche. In the classic marketing book, Positioning, Jack Trout and Al Reese explain that positioning is really taking up a slot in the mind of your target market. Kind of like a file cabinet has a specific file for a specific brand. For example, when I say laundry detergent, what comes to mind? When I say soft drink, what comes to mind? And luxury car? You see, there is a brand that occupies that file in your mind. Your goal is to position your brand in the mind of your perfect niche market. Why a niche market? Well, if you try to be everything to everyone, you won't be anything significant to anyone. This is what Starbucks has done with coffee. It's what Harley-Davidson has done with motorcycles, and what Whole Foods has done in the natural foods industry. It doesn't matter what you think of these companies. What matters is that the target market for each of these companies has embraced the brand and enthusiastically hands over their money. To learn more about positioning your company, contact Phenomenal Products. We offer training programs to help you do this. The second way to increase sales is to get more clients, which brings me to my phenomenal referral marketing, how to get as many high-end clients as you want without expensive advertising. Everyone agrees that word of mouth is the best advertising. Everyone knows the power in someone telling another person about a service or product. The problem is that casual referrals do not always create a phenomenally successful business. To generate a massive number of referrals, you need a phenomenal referral marketing system. There are many other ways to market your business that we also use. Direct marketing and internet marketing strategies we use are very good, but our biggest return comes from our referral marketing. What I mean by referral marketing is marketing to a referral source rather than directly to the end user. This is especially important with high-end clients. High-end clients, we'll call them Mercedes clients in this illustration, prefer to buy through a referral. Typically, a high-end client will get a referral from a trusted friend or a trusted advisor, a consultant who in turn refers you, another consultant. My definition of referral marketing is the process of building a network of sources that will refer multiple clients to your business. Here are the top 10 reasons referral marketing is so effective. Reason number one, your network is unlimited. As you begin to build relationships with powerful referral sources and get your clients to refer you, the network continues to grow with no end in sight. Reason number two, higher quality clients. Since Mercedes clients seek out a referral, you get a higher quality client just from being referral-based. Referred clients usually don't even ask about the price. They are more concerned about quality than price. Reason number three, pre-qualified clients. By educating your referral sources, your prospective clients will be pre-qualified. Therefore, they will already know you charge more. Reason number four, people trust referrals. Wouldn't you agree that referrals already have a level of trust for you? Sure they do. They trust you because the person they trust knows about you. Reason number five, it reduces competition. With referral marketing, you are no longer fighting for the best ad placement or getting copied. Relationships are hard to duplicate. Reason number six, low cost. With the right referral marketing system, you won't spend money on expensive advertising. The cost is very low for referral marketing. Even with a referral reward program, which I highly recommend, the cost is still extremely low compared to most advertising. Reason number seven, high returns. The returns can potentially be huge. In many industries, a 4-to-1 return on investment on advertising dollars would be outstanding. In other words, if you invested $1,000 in advertising, you would get an average of $4,000 in return. With referral marketing, If you pay a 10% referral reward and everyone cashes in on it, you'll have a 10-to-1 return. In my reward program, I get a 20-to-1 return. Reason number 8, returns guaranteed. With a referral reward, you don't pay it until after the product or service is paid for. With traditional advertising, you put your money on the line and hope for a return. Reason number 9, small time investment. The biggest objection I get to referral marketing is time. See reason number 10 to overcome that challenge. Reason number 10, exponential multiplication. Would you be interested in how investing just a few minutes a day doing something really fun would give you a return of over $10,000 in new business each and every month after 6 months? Of course you would. Even though I can't guarantee it, I've seen it happen many times. Here's what I discovered with referral marketing. If you invest just 30 minutes per day calling on powerful referral sources, those are companies that are in a position to refer you on a regular basis, do you think it's possible to generate just $1,500 in new referrals in a one-month period? Not too difficult for most small businesses. What I discovered about referral marketing is that once you win the confidence of a referral source, they will continue the habit of referring you unless you give them a reason not to. You will then continue to develop new referral sources each month to the tune of $1,500 each month. All told, at the end of 6 months, you would be at over $10,000 per month in new referred business. This is how I built my first company from the trunk of my car to a consistent $2.5 million per year. This is how I built a powerful training business, and it's the same method I've taught countless small business owners to use around the world. It'll work for you too. Your referral marketing system should include consistent networking, referral source visits, mailers, and emails at a minimum. There are also a number of phenomenal joint ventures, events, and strategies that are amazing. To learn more about my phenomenal referral marketing systems, contact Phenomenal Products. The third way to increase sales is to get more sales from existing clients. The Lifetime Client Marketing System, how to double your business without adding a single customer. The biggest marketing mistake of all is not marketing to your existing client base, those who have already spent money with you. Did you know that statistics reveal that it costs 500% more to gain a new client than to keep an existing one? Did you also know that without consistent marketing, many of your clients forget to call you and eventually end up using someone else? It's a hard fact to swallow, but it's true. A multi-industry study by the Wharton School of Business, University of Pennsylvania, revealed that companies who increase their customer retention rate by a mere 5 to 11 percentage points actually increased their profits by an astounding 25 to 75%, depending on the industry. Back in 1999, I was mailing 4 times per year to my client base. That kept my repeat rate, something that you need to be tracking, consistent. I wondered what would happen if I increased the number of mailings to 12. The investment was around $20,000, but the trackable return was over $200,000 in the first year. It is my experience that many companies can double their business in the next 12 months without actually adding a single customer. 5 critical reasons to market to your client base. Number 1, get a higher price. One of the reasons to constantly be in front of your past and existing clients, other than the fact that your competitor is marketing to them, is to reinforce your brand message, which positions you at a higher value. Translation, higher price. Constantly remind them of the reasons to always use you and build the unique experience around your company. Number 2, TOMA, top of mind awareness. Just because you did a great job doesn't mean your customers will remember you. I had $6,000 worth of plumbing done in my commercial building. I completely forgot about the plumber that services my home. Why? Because he doesn't have a system to stay in touch. Do you? How many of your customers are gone because of it? Number three, sell more products and services. You probably have a variety of products and services in addition to your main product or service. Marketing to your past clients can dramatically increase your income and profit margin. Number four, increase frequency of use. Getting your clients to purchase more often is another powerful thing that can add lots of dollars to your business. Number five is referrals. If your client has trouble remembering your name, much less all the wonderful things that set you apart, what are the chances they're going to be able to be a good referral source? A strong client-based marketing program can dramatically increase your referrals, especially if you have a referral reward program. Your client-based marketing system should include regular mailers, emails, thank you cards or letters, surveys, referral cards, and phone calls. To learn more about our phenomenal client-based marketing systems, contact Phenomenal Products. Phenomenal Direct Marketing. I try to avoid paid advertising and cold calling if I can. I would much rather do referral marketing, and if you have a client base, by all means, market to them first. However, direct marketing does work if you understand it and apply it properly, like everything else. The things I feel are important are found in the four M's of marketing. The first M is your target market. You must understand who your niche market is. Know as much about demographics, gender, age, geography, and psychographics, lifestyle, and their buying behavior as possible. The second M is your message. Now that you understand your market, what are their needs? What are their desires? What are their fears? If you look at the advertising of most small businesses, it doesn't answer the most basic of questions. Why should I choose you over someone else? Having a message that shares what your unique benefits are is important. There's a great deal to learn about writing copy. I don't have the time or space to cover that in this book, but contact Phenomenal Products and we'll help you with that. But you must have a compelling message and copy that causes them to respond. Once you get good at developing copy, you'll be able to get a bigger response in all that you do. It's a very valuable skill. The third M is method. Does the method of advertising or marketing reach your target market? It does you no good to advertise to the wrong prospects. And the fourth M is money. Is the advertising vehicle able to generate enough profit for you? In other words, if you invest $2,000 on an ad and your cost of doing business is 50%, you'll have to do $4,000 in business just to break even. You should track the ROI of all of your marketing efforts. Phenomenal Internet Marketing. I find the small business world in a very interesting place when it comes to online marketing. On the one hand, you have small business owners that are still confused about how it all works and the SEO telemarketer of the day telling you how they can get you on the first page of Google. At the same time, you have a generation that dismisses anything that isn't digital as old school, slow, and ineffective. The truth is in the middle, as usual. How you use the internet really depends on your target market and what you're selling, but there are a few rules that I think cross all the lines. Number one, have at least one website on a blog platform so that you can manage it yourself. Number two, use a branded email address that has your branding domain in it. Example, howard@howardpartridge.com. Using a Gmail, AOL, or Yahoo email to communicate with business associates devalues your brand. Having your website address present encourages people to visit your site. Also, have at least your contact info in your email signature, address, phone, website, etc., and maybe even an opt-in. Number three, have a compelling opt-in on your site, a free report, a discount, or something like that so that you can build an email list. Have a regular outgoing email newsletter. Just like client-based marketing, this educates and brands your business so you can take up the slot you want. Number 5, have a social media presence at minimum and respond to messages and friend requests. The degree to which you use social media, SEO, email, and other forms of internet advertising will depend on a lot of factors. If you're one of those still confused about it all, you cannot remain that way. Get educated now. Then you can make an educated decision about how much you should use it. If you are of the younger generation that doesn't know what snail mail is, you might want to broaden your horizons too. Direct sales. Finally, there's the age-old idea of actually making a sales call. Part marketing and part sales. Direct sales is when you market directly to a prospect in person. Don't discount this process. I mentioned network marketing in the previous chapter, which is a form of direct sales. The fact that you're taking time to speak to one person is not the issue. It's what can happen as a result. In the case of network marketing, for example, this person could build a huge team for you in the future. Perhaps it's a person who can become a monthly recurring client for you. My wife is in radio advertising sales. Outside of calling on ad agencies that she is assigned to, she actually has to call on someone. Imagine that. To be effective in direct sales, you first have to give them a compelling reason to meet with you. You and I both get solicitations every day for some kind of advertising. The problem is most of them are lame. Give your prospects something of value, a free trial, a free report, education, candy, gum, donuts, something. But don't just call me up to sell me something without sharing what's in it for me. Remember WIIFM, the radio station that everybody listens to. And my companies always try to add value to the presentation. Here's what you're going to get as a result of our time together. Make sense? Once you make a presentation, ask for the sale, in the right way, of course. If you believe in your product or service, you shouldn't have any problem doing that. Finally, the fortune is in the follow-up. I can't tell you how many people I would have bought from who never called back. The ultimate is to put them into a forever follow-up system that includes follow-up mail, calls, and emails. You can automate all of this with software, and it doesn't have to be you doing any of it. You just have to develop the system that works. To learn the techniques of how to do this, contact Phenomenal Products. Pillar number 2 is sales. Sales is everything that you do to turn a prospect into a paying customer. This includes answering the phone, your phone scripts, responding to an email opt-in, presentations, and so on. Once they have actually purchased something from you, they are now a customer. Many times you may not need more prospects, but you need to take better care of the leads you get. Is your phone answered live? Is your phone answered in the most professional way possible? Do prospects and clients have a great experience when they call your company? Are your closing ratios what they need to be? Do you consistently make the add-on sale? Do you have proven scripts for your people to follow so you aren't the only one that can close the big deals? Do you have phenomenal on-site sales materials? How effective is your response to internet leads? Increasing your closing ratios and your job averages can have a big impact on your business. How to double your profit with one simple, easy strategy. In any business, there is one type of sale that brings the most profit. There is one single sales activity that can make the most difference in the profitability of your company. Not taking advantage of this all-important sales opportunity will cost you thousands of dollars. That sale is called the add-on sale. The reason this type of sale is so profitable is because you have already invested the cost of acquiring and serving your client. Therefore, anything that is added to the ticket is extremely profitable. This makes the add-on sale the most profitable sale you can make. With that said, how do we add on more sales? And more importantly, why don't you make the add-on sales you should be making? The actual techniques of upselling are not that difficult or tricky, but there's a deeper issue that must be addressed. The deeper issue has to do with overcoming fear. Remember the definition of fear? False evidence appearing real? Many times we're afraid to ask for an extra sale. We feel like the client will get upset. They'll think we're too pushy. They'll see us as a used car salesman type. You certainly want to be sensitive in the way that you ask for the add-on product or service, but prepare to be shocked. Do you realize that you're actually doing your customer a disservice by not offering the additional services? You should also be shocked at the amount of money you're leaving on the table. The add-on sale benefits. Number one, to you or your company. Number two, to your employee. Number three, to your client. Let's look at you first. What's the value of an add-on sale? Just a small amount of $50 per day on average in add-on sales, 5 days a week, totals up to $13,000 a year. If you have three employees, that's $39,000 in additional income that goes to the company. One of my companies averages $300,000 in add-on sales per year. I want you to think about your life goals and what kind of impact add-on sales would have. Now let's talk about your employee. If your employee has a financial incentive, it's pretty easy to show them the math. The big reason they don't upsell is because they haven't been expected to or trained to do it. One of my employees made an additional $3,485 this past month just in add-on bonuses. Some business owners don't believe in giving incentives for add-on sales because they feel that it may tempt an employee to use high pressure or to be unethical. I've proven that if you build the right culture in your business and you don't tolerate high pressure, you can have a good balance. Whether or not you decide to offer your employees a financial incentive, here's the biggest reason they should make the add-on sale. Not doing so is an injustice to your client. How could they possibly benefit from buying more from you? Obviously, the benefit of having the service or product is there, and I'm hopeful you believe that much in your product. But more importantly than the benefit is the potential loss to the client if they don't get the product or service. What's the actual realistic potential loss your client may experience by not purchasing the add-on? Are you completely convinced that this extra item will benefit your client? If so, aren't they going to miss out on that? To add insult to injury, you don't offer the add-on, and the next thing you know, your client is buying the product from your most despicable competitor. Understand that by offering a great add-on service, you are doing your clients a favor. You're helping them, not hurting them. There are more sales techniques and concepts than I could begin to mention here, but asking questions is a good start. Simply noticing a need and letting them know about a product or service is a start. Of course, demonstrations, free trials, and presentations can take it to the next level. A final note, don't offer anything until you've established a rapport with the client and you've secured believability. You must establish yourself as a trusted consultant and representative before attempting an extra sale. Many times this is accomplished by wowing the client with the primary service or product first. The phenomenal 7-step sales system. I developed a powerful sales system that I use in both of my companies very effectively. One of the most important things in sales is asking questions. Here I will share my steps with you in an article of mine that was published about asking questions. The title is, May I Ask You a Question? Do you know about the power of the question? Did you know that selling ain't telling? Have you heard that asking questions during a sales presentation is much more effective than talking about your product or service? Have you noticed that most salespeople break that rule on a regular basis? The last time you bought something, did the salesperson ask good questions or did he or she do most of the telling? What about you? How are you doing in that area? Have you practiced the skill of asking questions? Have you discovered the power behind asking the right questions? In fact, have you discovered the right questions to ask for your industry? Would you be surprised to find out that the questions are very similar for any product or service? What are the best questions to ask? What about asking a new prospect, who do I have the pleasure of speaking with today? By the way, have you heard that someone's name is music to their ears? Wouldn't it be a good idea to use their name along with all of the following questions that are directed toward them? How are you referred to us? What prompted you to call us instead of someone else? What did the person or company that referred you say about us? Or what was it about the ad, letter, etc. that got your attention? Do you think asking those questions might give you insight into their reasons for choosing you? You don't want to miss that, right? What if you follow that with, would you mind if I share a little bit about how we do things here and how we can be of benefit to you? What if you then took about 60 seconds to share how you can help them solve the major challenges that you know they have based on your industry research? Do you think this might help you connect with them emotionally and position yourself as the credible source? Have you crafted a compelling USP, unique selling proposition, that would accomplish that? Is it memorized or somewhere you can access it whenever you might happen to speak to a prospect? What if you then followed that with a series of pre-planned questions that would not only help you discover their needs, but help them discover what their true needs are also? Did you know that most people don't really understand what their true need is and how not solving it is hurting them worse than they realize? Do you think you could improve on the questions you ask? What if you followed the discovery questions with some possible solutions, but you put the solutions in the form of a question? What questions could you follow a statement with? What about, does that make sense? Or, does that sound like what you're looking for? Did you know that by slowing down and asking confirming questions that you can uncover more objections than you would by just running through your benefits? Did you realize that by getting them to say yes throughout the process, that they'll be more likely to say yes when you share the investment? What if you could overcome all objections before you quoted the investment? How cool would that be? By the way, what do you do when you get an objection? What if you asked a question? What kind of a question? What about, what do you mean? It's too high. Does it make sense that when you simply repeat the objection, they are likely to tell you what the real objection is? Have you heard that when you quote the investment, the first person to speak is usually the one who buys? Do you make it a habit of becoming silent after quoting the investment? If not, is it because you simply haven't disciplined yourself, haven't understood the importance until now, or is it because you don't believe in your price? Finally, does it make sense that getting really good at asking good questions will help you sell more? And how will selling more benefit you? Did you notice that there isn't one single statement in this article? Pillar number 3, operations. Once a customer has purchased, everything that happens to serve that customer is operations. This includes your delivery. The level of service you provide will determine whether they will ascend the loyalty ladder and go from customer to client. Do you have service systems in place so that your clients get the most outstanding service experience ever, consistently, every time, without you having to be personally involved. To take this area to the next level, you want to first think about what kind of service experience you want for your clients, members, or patients to have. The level of service experience will determine how much you can charge. I learned a great way to think about this from my colleague Ellen Rohr. Think about the process of serving a customer from their eyes. Put yourself in their shoes and walk through the experience as they would. The example she gave was a restaurant. Get in the car and drive down the road toward the restaurant. Can you see the sign? Is the light on? Is it easy to park? Is the parking lot clean? Now approach the building. Is it inviting? Is the front door clean or does it need a little Windex? Is the hostess missing? I think you get the picture. At each step, what could go wrong? Now, simply take that list and work out the service experience. For a service company, it begins with the AM procedures. Are the trucks washed, stocked, and ready? Do we have a system for that? Are the techs in uniform and ready to go? Do they have their client info? Create a checklist for the day and begin working on your systems so that you can not only provide the most outstanding service experience, but so that you can also duplicate it over and over, regardless of who is in each position. The subtitle of The Experience Economy by Joe Pyne and James Gilmore is Work is Theater and Every Business is a Stage. What is theater? It's an experience designed to create an emotional response. Will they laugh or cry? So putting your service experience together is much like a theater production. Pillar number 4, administration. The final pillar is the tracking piece. This is your financial statements, marketing results, your production rates, your sales closing rates, and everything else that needs to be tracked to confirm that you are profitable and efficient. Do you know what your cost of doing business is? Do you know what your marketing efforts are producing? Do you know what your sales closing rates are? Do you know what your production rates are? Do you have a written business plan? Do you have a budget for the next 12 months? Do you have the right insurance and legal protection? Most people aren't really savvy when it comes to bookkeeping, tracking software, and things that can make this pillar really strong. Learn the numbers, learn technology, it'll do you good. Most small business owners I come across can use a lot of help in all of these areas, but I've also found that most small business owners are strong in one particular area, usually operations, and not so much on the other parts. So to build a better, stronger business, start assessing each pillar to determine how you're doing in each area. Think about each area in your business. To learn more about these processes and to get proven systems and support for your business, contact Phenomenal Products. The other 7 in the 747 business model. The third digit in 747 is for the 7 steps of implementation. Number 1 is inspiration. You got to get fired up. The first step in overcoming FTI, failure to implement, is to stay inspired. Are you constantly exposing yourself to information that inspires you? Do you have a community to support you? If you aren't inspired, you won't act. For me, beginning my day reading a chapter from the Bible and investing a few minutes reading from a business book or magazine keeps me inspired. When I see what other people have done, it motivates me. I listen to praise and worship music while I work and CDs by Zig Ziglar and other phenomenal trainers while driving. I avoid negative conversations, unless I'm the one complaining. Step number 2 in implementation is quick start. Get things moving now. What are the immediate action steps you can take to get your business moving in the right direction? There are probably things you know you should be doing. Get going on those things right now. To make absolutely sure you are always working on the biggest return on investment items, Make sure you have a support group that knows business so you can stay focused, accountable, and inspired. Number three is tracking. Where are you now? This is the weakest link in so many small businesses. Success is defined by whether they're busy or not. The sad fact is that you can be busy and broke. If you want to work smarter rather than harder, learn how to run your stats. If you're traveling in a vehicle, how do you know whether you have enough gas to reach your destination? The gas gauge, of course. How do you know if your oil is low? Have you done regular maintenance to make sure your tires and belts are in good shape? Get the picture? You're driving blind. As it is often said in the training world, if you can't measure it, you sure can't manage it. Step four is goals. Where you want to go. Once you've determined where you are, you can better plan your mile markers. What are the stats you want to improve? By how much? Keep your goals very specific and measurable. Have a deadline and write it down. Step five, plans. How will you get there? Now you want to really focus on what strategies you'll use. There are literally hundreds of strategies you could implement. The problem is that most small business owners have no direction other than to put out the brush fire or react to not being busy. If you take the time to work the 747 business model, you not only have a better chance of reaching the success you desire, but you are now in a position that very few will ever be able to be in, a position to have a turnkey business. Step six, build systems. This is how you'll stay there. Systems are the key to a predictable, profitable turnkey operation. Once you take action on your plans, you find out what works, what doesn't, what you want to tweak, and you end up with a system. This is how we do it here. Just duplicate it over and over again. Step seven is leadership, getting others to help you. If you want to do truly phenomenal things in your business, you really can't do it by yourself. But you may have bought into the lie that you can't find good people. If you have employees, do you have to tell them over and over what to do? Do you know how to properly coach an employee back to performance? Do you know the right way to terminate someone? Your employees are your greatest asset or your biggest nightmare, and that depends mostly on your leadership skills. Like everything else I've shared in this book so far, this is a skill anyone can learn. If your dream is important to you, I suggest you learn this skill. One of the most gratifying parts of my life is training leaders, watching them grow as they grow people.